You're listening to Up an Octave, a podcast by Sonivia, the podcasting agency that believes that women and non-binary people deserve to take up space in the podcasting industry because our thoughts, voices, and stories matter. Here you'll learn how to make dope podcasts that inspire, educate, convert, and most importantly, make your voice shine. I'm your host, Rue Spence, and I'm here to take podcasting up an octave. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Up an Octave. Today, we are talking about whether or not your show needs a co-host. Now, this is one of those things where there isn't really a right or wrong answer. Sorry to burst your bubble. I don't have all the answers. A lot of shows honestly can benefit from either structure. So let's break it down why you might or might not choose to have a co-host. And let's start with the good. Some of the pros are that it's easier to feel like you're having a conversation. I've talked about this in other episodes, and honestly, until you really start to get the hang of it, it can feel a little awkward when you're podcasting in a vacuum. When it's just you and a microphone, it's kind of hard to feel authentic because of how stilted it does feel to just be talking into a microphone. Like, there's no feedback, there's no eye contact. It's just you and a microphone and sound waves. That's tough, especially when you're still getting started and you haven't quite found the voice of your show. It's also easier to be funny. It's really helpful when you have someone to riff off of, especially if that's like the goal of your show, you know, that you can have someone else adding some levity. And it's a lot easier when you're not having to laugh at your own jokes and kind of hold yourself accountable for your humor, I guess, if that makes sense. I think that I'm a funny enough person, but I know that when I'm with my best friends, I am the funniest person. Like, when we make each other laugh, that is the moment where I'm like, okay, I'm funny. You know, it's hard to create that when you're by yourself. So having a co-host can absolutely help you feel, I don't know, more energetic, more funny, a little lighter. That can be something that's really helpful, especially if that's the tone of your show that you're going for. Another huge plus is that you get different perspectives and insights. And this is especially true when you have a co-host who has different lived experiences from your own. So for example, Max Taff and Megan Nicole from the Vigilante Vibes podcast are a great example of this, as is Oliver Wang and Morgan Rhodes from the Heat Rocks podcast. Getting someone in the chair across from you with a radically different or even a slightly different experience and worldview can help inform the conversations that you're having. Again, in talking about the vacuum that can kind of exist within your podcast, if you are doing a solo podcast, the same vacuum can occur if you are podcasting with someone who is very, very similar to you, that you can both have the same blind spots that you might not even know that you have. Honestly, it's also really just helpful to have a co-host to share the workload. You can get help with the three P's of podcasting. And if you haven't heard me talk about the three P's, they are planning, producing, and promoting. And having a co-host means that you have someone else in the sauce with you. If you are not in a place to outsource yet and to get some professional help, having a co-host means that you can say, all right, I've got the editing and the back end. I need you booking guests. I need you making Instagram posts. That you can divvy up that workload to make sure that one person isn't getting burned out. And that also is so incredibly helpful in staving off pod fade. So having someone that you can share the burdens with, share the workload with, that can be absolutely wonderful. It can also be nice to have someone to share the cost with, especially when you're getting started, having someone who can help you out with hosting fees, website fees, tech, production, outsourcing if you're looking to hire an editor, having someone to share the actual financial burden with can also be really, really lovely. Podcasting can absolutely be done on a shoestring budget, but if you are in a place where you are looking to invest, obviously splitting those costs is a fantastic way to go about it. It's also really nice to have the emotional and creative support and partnership. Even if you have a really supportive partner or incredibly supportive friends or family, you know, your mom who still doesn't even really understand what a podcast is, but she's just happy you're happy. No matter who you have supporting you, it's kind of a girlies who get it situation, right? Where, you know, you can talk about, oh, I have this great idea and I'm doing this and this week on the podcast. And unless someone's really like in the sauce with you, it can be hard to actually get support and get feedback and have someone to riff off of and bounce those ideas off of. That having a co-host is so helpful because they're thinking so many of the exact same thoughts that you're thinking. That, you know, they are considering how to structure episodes. They are considering making the same choices that are currently weighing on you. And that kind of partnership is so golden. You know, you have someone who can, it's that sleepover vibe that I always am talking about curating with my clients, that you can have that with your co-host. You know, you guys can sit up and spend a whole night going, okay, this is what our content calendar is going to look like. This is what I want to talk about. Oh my God, I love that. I want to talk about this. Like, you can get into that with your co-host in a way that if it's just like you and ChatGPT or just you and your notebook, you're not going to get that same feedback for sure, but also you're not going to get that same energy that you can curate when you're working with someone that you really care about. Okay. Now I'm going to kill the mood a little bit. There are, unfortunately, some downsides to choosing to have a show with a co-host. And the first one, and maybe the biggest one, is creative differences. You may have a different idea for the show. You may think, this is what I want the branding to look like when I close my eyes. This is what I have in mind for this. And this is how I think the episode structure should go. And this is what I think our marketing strategy should be, and this is the kind of stuff I want to cover. And that may not be in alignment with your co-host, or it may not always be in alignment with your co-host. And so part of having a co-host is relinquishing some control. And if you are someone who is just a go with the flow, vibey kind of person, that may not be a big issue. But if you are someone who really likes to have a lot of creative control, you may struggle with that. That is absolutely something to consider because it is a huge part of bringing someone else into your creative team. Having conflict resolution skills is absolutely critical. And also, you shouldn't be in a position where you have to think of it as a conflict to resolve. That if you feel like there's going to be conflict with this person, they are not the right co-host. Speaking of conflict, there can be scheduling conflicts. And this is, you know, even if you're completely on the same team, this can just be a part of life. I mean, it is so hard for me to find a time to get together with my best friends for a glass of wine, much less recording a podcast. So if your co-host is incredibly busy working a 9-to-5 that spills over and is not a 9-to-5, if they have a family, if they have animals, whatever their lifestyle commitments are, that can make it difficult for the two of you to sit down and record a show, which can make it difficult to produce a show, which can make it difficult to not pod fade. Like, it is a slippery slope of, oh shoot, I forgot I have a meeting late on Tuesday night. Oh shoot, we were supposed to record. It's been a month since we recorded. So it is very easy to let those scheduling conflicts kind of eat your show until it doesn't exist anymore. That's definitely something to be aware of. And that is also why it is so incredibly vital to batch your content. Because if you know we are both so busy, but I can spend all of Sunday banging out 5 episodes with this person, you know, we can take 8 hours, we'll do Uber Eats and we'll just vibe it out for as long as we can until our voices give out. That's an amazing strategy to not be in those oh shoot moments at the very last minute. Another kind of skeevy thing that you have to consider is profit and cost sharing. So I mentioned as a pro is cost sharing, but it can also be a con. You know, if you are someone who struggles to have conversations about finances, you're going to have to learn how to get comfortable with that if you have a co-host. It can be squidgy to have those kind of conversations, but it's incredibly important to decide upfront how you're going to handle things. Once we start getting ad revenue, once we start getting Patreon supporters, you know, how are we going to divvy that money up? Is it going to be a 50-50? Is it going to be a 30-70 if, you know, you're doing the lion's share of the work and your co-host isn't? What is that going to look like? That's something that's incredibly important to know upfront. And, you know, if you're not running your podcast as a business, if this is coming from your personal debit card, who's paying for the website hosting? Who's paying for Buzzsprout? Who's paying for Reaper? Or, you know, there are those costs that's like, who's going to assume that? And that's something that you need to decide upfront and just get comfortable with that being a conversation that you have and one that you have frequently. You know, as things change, as your show evolves, it's a great idea to check in quarterly or every 6 months and just be like, hey, vibe check, are we still in a good spot with this? Like, does this still feel right to all parties? Something else that can be difficult for having a co-host is varying levels of commitment. It's important to know upfront how committed each person is and to talk frequently about what your goals for the show are and what you're willing to do to reach them. So it's so important to make sure that, you know, if one person is like, oh, I am 10 toes down and within 5 years, I want to quit my day job and I want us to be touring with this. Like, I want it to be a top, you know, 0.01% ranking podcast. And the other person's like, it's fine. But, you know, I'm a mom of 3 kids. I never want to go on tour. Like, it's so important to identify that and to make sure to continually vibe check to make sure that both people have the same expectations for the show. Because having different expectations can be lethal to your show. If there is one person who's incredibly committed and there's another person who their idea of commitment looks different, that can be terminal to your podcast. So make sure that you know where you stand at all times. And part of knowing where you stand is just covering your behind and getting everything in writing. I know that as you are like starting a show with your best friend or your partner or whomever, and you're like, this is going to be awesome. We're awesome. We're BFFs. Life's great. We would never fight. Like, it's just helpful also because then you can throw the document under the bus instead of each other. You know, if you go like, oh, you know, we're kind of having some low-key conflict about this. How are we going to resolve it? Oh, this is what our agreement that we signed at the very beginning of this says, so this is what it is. And then you can't be mad at each other. You can be mad at the document if you need to be. But, you know, it helps to resolve that conflict so that it doesn't feel as personal. And it's something that you can, you know, refer back to and always have. So I'm a big fan of getting things in writing. I think that it helps everyone feel like they each have the upper hand. And that there's not like a back and forth of like, I said, you said. It's more of just like, okay, well, this is what we agreed to. So spend some time drafting up that document, deciding what that could look like. I don't always think that it needs to be like legally binding and go through like a lawyer and a notary and all that stuff. There are situations where it should, but as you're having your like slumber party energy, just be like, hey, let's just talk about what this is going to look like. And part of what I think you should have in writing, and it's one of those where I know a lot of people are like, I don't even want to manifest this. Like, I don't even want to put energy into this. But I have seen enough shows where co-hosts have stopped being co-hosts, I'll say it that way, that I recommend including some kind of clause about what happens if one person wants to be done. If one of the co-hosts quits, does that mean the show ends? Does that mean that the person who doesn't want to quit finds a new co-host? Does that mean that the person who wants to quit has to buy out the rest of their year of website hosting? Like, what does that look like? And obviously, you hope that that doesn't happen. But I listen to podcasts that have been on for 15 years. Like, that's a long commitment. And you don't necessarily know at the beginning what you're signing up for. So, you know, what if you get to a point in your life where you're like, this isn't fun anymore. This isn't how I want to spend my time. Or maybe I'm not into Game of Thrones anymore, so I don't want to do a Game of Thrones podcast anymore. You know, having an exit strategy is never a bad thing. So even if you can't imagine your show ending, put a little tiny bit of thought into what that could look like. So I do speak from some experience on some of this because I had a co-host for my first podcast and it was amazing. I loved getting together for our show. It was a wonderful way for us to keep in touch during the height of the pandemic. But honestly, and this is why I talk about the scheduling conflict part. It was so difficult sometimes for us to find a time that we could record because our episodes kind of trended a little bit long already. And it was like our weekly hangout and we would get caught up and we would chat and we'd get off topic. And, you know, it was just a time to hang out. So it was tough to block out a couple hours because we had a 7-hour time difference. So part of why we started our show is because I was living overseas at the time. And so she was 7 hours behind me. And so making it work where it was like, cool, she's awake. Because for me, the height of the day was 5 a.m. for her. And it was like, okay, is she awake? Yes. Am I awake? Yes. Because if it got too late, it was like, cool, I'm ready for bed. I've had a whole day. And so that was such a big snag for us once restrictions for the pandemic lifted and she went back to work, because that ate up a lot of that 7-hour window where we had to make things work. And ultimately, I mean, it was scheduling issues that were the reason that we decided to step away from the show, was just because it was like, okay, it feels like we constantly are having to, you know, pencil each other in, and that wasn't what it was supposed to be about. And so, you know, being able to identify all of these different elements of, you know, the first show that I had would not have worked without her. Like, it was an us thing. And so having a co-host was absolutely the right choice for that show. Having a co-host for this show doesn't necessarily make sense. I'm a solopreneur. I mean, who am I going to talk to? So, you know, because this podcast represents Sonivia, it's me. And that means that I am often making finger guns and being like, yeah, I'm really funny talking to a microphone. And so it's hard because it is just me. But that's how this show needs to function. And with my first show, I can't imagine trying to do it without my co-host. So, you know, just put some energy into identifying what the vibe of your show requires. There are some genres that just work better with co-hosts, like comedy shows and the Let's Watch or, you know, reviewing The Bachelor or whatever. Like, those types of shows lend themselves so well to co-hosts. Business and educational shows can work well if you are in business together. Like I mentioned, I am Sonivia. Like, there is no one else here. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to have a co-host. I like to have guests, but having a co-host doesn't make a lot of sense for me. But, you know, if you are in business together, and especially if you have different perspectives, that can strengthen your expertise. You can demonstrate how well-rounded your business is by offering those different viewpoints and perspectives. And it can also work well for an educational type show if you are the expert and you have someone else who stands in as the regular person to ask the questions that your audience is asking. This works really well, for example, for Sawbones with Justin and Sydney McElroy, where Sydney is a doctor. And her husband, Justin, very much is not a doctor. And so, you know, she can provide information and he asks questions that we're all thinking. And that's really helpful. I talk a lot about the blind spots that you may not even know you have in your niche because it's so automatic to you. So, you know, you may not think that the lay person would have these questions if you're just kind of existing in your bubble, which is definitely an issue that can occur with a solo podcast. One more pro that I want to mention that I didn't have on my list too Kind of speaking of that is the accountability factor. You know, it can be hard to make yourself show up, especially if like you're still in the position where recording feels uncomfortable or awkward. That if you know that you get to see your best friend at 7 p.m. tonight to record an episode, it makes you so much more excited. It's like going to the gym with a friend. You know, that if you're like, oh, it's not necessarily that I'm going to be talking into a microphone. It's that I'm going to be talking to my best friend about Love is Blind or whatever your podcast is about. That makes it that much more exciting to show up. Like there are so many pros and so many cons that it really just depends on what feels right to you. Another thing to consider if you can't identify a permanent co-host is that it can be fun to have guest co-hosts who join you for a limited amount of time. So maybe a 6-episode run or a 4-episode run. And this typically means that you are the showrunner and you maintain all of the creative and costly control, but you invite essentially long-term guests to act as co-hosts. Psst. Hi. I'm interrupting the show to tell you about something special, a chance for us to connect one-on-one. Whether you're thinking about starting a podcast and aren't quite sure where to begin, or maybe you've got a show already, but you're not sure how to grow, I want to let you know about my free consultations. Yep, that's right. Absolutely free. No strings attached, no pressure, just a chance to chat with your fairy pod mother, that's me, about turning your podcast dreams into reality. You'll walk away from our conversation with actionable steps to take, whether or not we end up working together. Think of it as a gift to you and your show as a thank you for listening to the podcast. If listening to me here isn't enough and you're ready to take the next step, let's chat. Find the link to book in the show notes. Now back to the good stuff. All right, so today's question comes from Haley. And Haley asks, I've been thinking about starting a podcast about urban legends and supernatural stories. My question is, when dealing with sensitive topics like cultural myths or beliefs that might be deeply ingrained in different communities, how do you approach research and ensure that you're respectful and accurate while keeping the show engaging and fresh? Oh, so I am completely not an expert on this, but I did cover a lot of these things on my first show. And ethics in podcasting is incredibly, incredibly important to me. So the biggest tips that I have for you, Haley, are be okay with being wrong. Understand that you might not be able to access all of the information. And it's so incredibly important to check your ego at the door. And if you have people who email you, hopefully they're kind. Go check out my episode on dealing with your first negative review. But you know, hopefully they're kind in their correction. But when you are dealing with something that is culturally charged or very significant to people, you have to be prepared for them to let you know when you miss the mark. And it's incredibly important to be humble enough to say thank you for educating me and to apologize for when you do miss the mark. And it doesn't have to be a self-flagellatory, oh my God, I screwed up. It can just be, wow, I did not know that. Thank you so much for taking the time to educate me. I'll do better. And sharing the correction with your audience. Something else that I think is incredibly important is trying to get information from those communities and to be willing to compensate. You know, pay people for their time. If they are inviting you into something that is very important to them or significant to them culturally, be willing to shell out for their time. Like, it's just fair to expect them to do that kind of emotional labor and to educate you for the sake of entertainment, especially if you're going to be profiting off of it. But, you know, do your best to get the information directly from the source. From that culture, from the people for whom that is significant. Another way that you can do that is to invite people who have those beliefs and are from those cultures to come on the show. Ask them if they are interested in sharing that information directly with your audience. I think it's really important that we offer these folk the opportunity to be the ones to tell their own story. And I know that mostly we're talking about like supernatural, paranormal, mythology, that kind of stuff. That's also to me part of the ethics of true crime. And I know that those worlds kind of intermingle a lot when we talk about podcasting, that if you can invite a survivor to tell their own story and give them that platform to communicate their story and their narrative in their own language and in their own way, to me, that is incredibly powerful and helps to center the right voices. By its nature, this type of podcasting and storytelling is voyeuristic. And I believe that anytime that you can shine that spotlight onto the people who live it, that that is our duty as creators. And to me, the same is true within the space of mythology and cultural significance, that if you can invite someone to be in charge of their own narrative, I think that that's so much more powerful than anything you'll ever find on Google. So that's the biggest thing for me, is just get comfortable being wrong and do your best and do your due diligence to learn from the people for whom it's significant. So this is like right up my alley. So Haley, if you get this show started, I'm super excited to listen to it. So thank you so much. And if you have a question you'd like for me to answer and to give your show a shout out, you can email me at ru.sonivia@gmail.com. All right, so that's it for today. Send this episode to someone you've been talking about starting a show with. And remember, podcasting should feel good. I will be back next week to talk about perfectionism in podcasting. In the meantime, the party keeps on going on Instagram, where I am at Sonivia Studios. Don't forget to follow the show wherever you're listening, because I would hate for you to miss out on the podcasting goodness that lies ahead. All right, babe, remember that you have got this. All right, love ya. Mean it.